Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, and welcome to Nothing But the Truth with yours truly, Apostle Designee Katie Pierce. I am so happy to be with you on this evening. And, of course, we played an oldie but a goodie, Timothy Wright with You Must Come In at the Door. And I played it specifically, because of the song He's the Way, the Truth, and the Life. You've got to come in at the door. There's no way around it. No way over it. It's no way under it. We got to come in, and we have to come in with the truth. Thank you so much for joining us on tonight. Let's open with the word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God, we lift up your word even now, O God, that your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, O Lord God. We pray now, O Lord God, the truth would dispel all lies, O Lord God, and that we would come, O Lord God, to a realization of being truthful first and foremost with you, and then being truthful with ourselves, O Lord God, as we explore the topic on tonight, O Father God. We pray now in Jesus' name, Father, for those of us who are hiding, God, and we're not hiding because you sent us into a hiding place to seek you, God, but we're hiding because we're fearful of our own anointings, callings, giftings. Father, we come now in Jesus' name that you would expose the enemy, God. Bind him on every hand, oh Father, in the name of Jesus, that we will be obedient to the call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Again, I have to thank you for joining us on tonight, and we had an opportunity actually to preach this on this past Sunday at TDM, and I was looking at it even more so on this week, and after I preached it, just kind of letting it permeate in my own spirit and begin to see some things. So I want to uncover some things, or prayerfully uncover some things with you, as to where you are in God and where you are in your call. And this is a familiar passage of scripture, and it can be found in 1 Kings, for those of you who have your Bibles, or if you could just write it down. In 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, it's actually verses 1 through 7. And the word of God says, Elijah the Tishbite, the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And so, of course, after reading this particular scripture, we find that Elijah, of course, had come up against Ahab and Queen Jezebel, and some things had been done that were not godly in the sight of the Lord, and he took it upon himself to begin to decree and declare that there would be no rain until the Lord spoke. And then he gets instructions from the Lord after he stands so to take a stand against what he saw as unrighteousness. Sometimes when we take a stand for things that are unrighteous, just because we know better within ourselves, I in looking at the scripture, I begin to go back a little bit to try and find out if these instructions or the no rain was given by God, or was it something that Elijah, because of his relationship with God, he became indignant with what he was seeing. His relationship with God caused him to be able to take a stand against that which was unrighteous. And in doing so, after he took a stand, his relationship was so good and so well with God that God backed up what he actually spoke and began to tell him, okay, now you need to go by the brook Cherith, and there I'm going to feed you. And so my question on tonight becomes, are you hiding because God told you to hide, or are you hiding because you're fearful? Are you hiding? For what reason are you hiding? And there are some people who are in hiding. There are some people whom God has called out to do a work. They know a work that God has given them to do, and yet they find themselves in a position of hiding. So my question that I pose to you on tonight, why are you hiding? Again, God told Elijah to hide. He told him to hide so that he could begin to minister to him. Because when I did the study on the brook Cherith, the word Cherith itself means a cutting, a separation, a gorge, if you will. And God put him to a place of cutting. He put him in a place where he cut him off from those who he knew. He cut him off so that he and God can spend time. He needed to spend time with God. And so to get instructions, you know, there comes a point in the time where we have to withdraw from those who we know. We have to get to our own place of Cherith, a place of separation and a place of cutting. It said a torrid bed, and we have to begin to sometimes get in a place with God so that God can begin to speak to us. And so he didn't just tell him to go there to hide out. He didn't just tell him to go there with no purpose. God had a purpose for what he was doing. And so in this particular instance, here we have Elijah, the Tishbite. He's made a stand. God tells him to go, get away from here, go eastward and hide by the brook Cherith. And I think of the scripture that talks about, you know, we have to hide under the wings of the Almighty. Amen. And so it's a difference in hiding and a difference in running. So, you know, are you running? Again, I have to say this because there are so many Christians, there are so many saints of God who are not just hiding, but they've become gotten in a place where it's not even just a place of rescue, but it's a place of running from a situation or a circumstance. And watch this, running from their calling, their anointing, and their purpose in God. For whatever the reason, they found themselves in the position and the place that they're hiding. And so we have to begin to examine ourselves. Are you hiding? Have you taken the place that God meant for that particular place to just be a temporary place of refuge, and you've made it a permanent place of residence because you don't want to face what God has. You don't want to hear what God has to say to you. that the scripture said that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and him will I trust. And so even in your hiding, are you hiding and you still trusting God for what it is that God has called you to do? Or again, are you hiding because you're scared, because you're fearful? That's the difference. And that's the point that we need to examine our hearts and begin to find out, where are we in our hiding place? Refuge in a secret place with God. He's still our strength. He's still our source. Or are we running? We're scared. We're not leaning, we're not depending on him. These are the questions that we have to ask. Elijah's name itself means Yahweh is my God. And this is the place that Elijah, he hid. He hid in the place of cutting and separation, but his name meant Yahweh is my God. And so here we have Yahweh my God, cutting, separating, doing what it takes to hear from God, to always be in his presence, to always hide in the shadow of his wing. And in order for you to hide in a shadow, and I've made mention of it before, is because there's a greater source that's over, that's taking over you. For instance, when you're walking, you can see your shadow. But when you come to a building that's larger than you, your shadow disappears and you begin to see the shadow of that greater thing. Hallelujah, Jesus. So even in your hiding, are you allowing that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? Are you allowing greater to overshadow you where you're hiding, where you can't be seen? Hallelujah. But he who is greater than you is overshadowing. And so as we begin to look at that, Elijah, God, he was obedient in his hiding. He only was in hiding because God told him to hide. Are you hiding because God told you to hide, or are you hiding because you're running scared? Again, we have to examine that on tonight. That's the word that God would have me to bring before you on tonight, to examine yourself, to find out where it is. Are you in a place of obedience? And again, you know, in a place of obedience where you're asking God to hide you, but not just to hide you, but to hide you in the shadow of his wing, and not hiding because of low confidence, that you don't have any confidence in God. This is the confidence that I have in him. Are you hiding because you were confident in your own self? You thought you could do it by your own way, and you found out that things began to crumble around you because your confidence was in you, or even your confidence was in another person. It was in a man. It was in your 401k. Your confidence was in something other than God. Ah, my God to glory. And because that began to crumble and that began to fall, you found yourself hiding. But you're not hiding because of the confidence that you have in God. And so what is it that's making you hide? Are you hiding from the things that God has called you to do because in your doing it, you saw that it was going to take a greater level of you? It was going to have to take you out of yourself. You were going to have to give up a greater level of you. You couldn't look at your Thursday night run on TV because, you know, you were hiding in God. You saw that the call of God that was on your life meant that you had to do some things that went beyond your norm of what you wanted to do. Come on, somebody. And God is calling you into a greater place than what he would have you to do. And as you begin to look at that thing, fear came. You were overwhelmed. That was a word that I shared on this week about, you know, the many things being pulled in the many ways and feeling that sense of overwhelmness. But I found out that in being overwhelmed, even when you said, and I thought that was a really nice word to say. I felt that it was better than saying, you know, I was scared, or was better than saying, you know, I was looking to me. But I found out that when you're overwhelmed, it's because you're not looking at the source that's greater than you. Ah, my God. You're not looking to him who said that nothing is impossible with God. You're looking at your own resources. You're looking at your own strength. You're looking at your own ability. But the Bible says, yea, I will look to the hills. So the question of tonight is, are you hiding? And if you're hiding, examining yourself and saying why. Is it out of obedience? Or is it out of fear? Is it out of insecurity? Why am I hiding? Why am I hiding? So here we have Elijah. He's gone into hiding. He's gone into hiding, but he went into a hiding to seek God. And it was amazing to me, and I'm sure this has been preached before, and these notes are what I want to look at on tonight probably is something that has been brought out by another preacher. But if you would but let me reiterate the fact that Elijah's hiding, in his hiding, he understood that God was his provider. Because God even tells him, he says, I need you to go. I need you to go by the brook Kereth. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send a raven. A raven is going to come. A raven is going to feed you. He's going to bring you, the sustenance that you need to make it. He's going to feed you there. And you're going to drink from the brook. You already going to have your water. I'm going to give you your water. And I'm going to send the raven. He's going to feed you in the morning, and he's going to feed you at night. He said, look at this. He said the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening. Now, that within itself is a miracle. Where did the raven get the bread from? It wasn't like the raven could put the bread and bake the bread on a stone on its own. My God, to glory. This thing is blessing me. Okay, and so the raven brings bread and he brings meat. So that the man of God will be able to eat. We have to rely on God's resources. You may not even like where it's going to come from. Let's talk about the raven. Shall we talk about the raven? The raven was a scavenger bird. The ravens eat berries, fruit, insects. They eat bread. They also eat the flesh of dead animals. They sometimes kill small birds and mammals such as rabbits and rats. Okay, and here God is telling the man of God, this who's going to serve you. A scavenger bread, a scavenger bird. And I found in Leviticus, the 11th chapter, verses 13 through 19. I need you to write that down. Leviticus 11, verses 13 through 19. It said, these are the birds you are to detest and not eat because they are detestable. They are detestable, and I want you to know that the raven, any kind of raven, it says, is a bird that he sees as detestable. And yet God uses something that he himself called detestable. He used that to bless and feed the man of God. Now, that can say a whole lot. That can say a whole lot. Sometimes we feel like we can't take certain things from certain people because of whatever reason. But here it is. God tells in Leviticus, God says that this is a detestable bird. And here we have it in 1 Kings 17 chapter, what God tells him, this detestable bird is going to bring you bread. A scavenger bird is going to bring you what he normally would eat himself. But I'm going to have it so that what he normally eats, he's going to bring it and he's going to give it to you. Watch this. Not just one time, but he's going to bring it to you in the morning and he's going to bring it to you at night. Twice a day, this bird is going to bring you what it is you need to eat. And so the ravens are included in this scripture, again, in Leviticus as being something detestable. And here we have God using that which is detestable to feed the man of God. And so we have to begin to look at, God using God's resource. When God tells you to do something, we have to be obedient in what he has to do. And then we have to be open-minded to whom it is God is going to use to bless us. Amen. And so here we have him again. What have you turned away? What answer to your prayers have God given you? And you turned it away because you felt like, yeah, That's all I'm going to say about that. Just chew on that for a little bit. And so, again, we have God using this raven bird to feed the man of God. So he says he's going to bring you bread and he's going to bring you meat twice a day. And then you will have the brook Cherith right there. You can just dip from the brook, and you can begin to just, you're going to eat and you're going to drink, and everything you need to sustain you, God has already provided. And so here we have God giving the man of God provision. He gives him the provision that he needs to be able to make it, to be able to endure what it is that he himself, he had spoke this thing. And so that's what we need to begin to look at. So we have him there. We have him being fed by the raven. We have him drinking at the brook. And then we see the Bible says he stayed by the brook Cherith. And so I was trying to, you know, doing a little research and trying to find out how long was it that Elijah found himself at the brook Cherith, and I found one resource said that it was about the span of 3 years. So I need you to understand that this wasn't something that was just a short-term thing that God did, but this was a long-term event until the brook dried up because there was no rain. Remember, he had prophetically spoke that there would be no rain. It wasn't going to even be any dew. Nothing was going to happen as far as moisture was concerned. He had spoken, he had counseled it, and because of his relationship with God, God backed up what he said and brought it to pass, and then put him in a hiding place. Put him in a hiding place so that he and God could begin to just kind of minister until that time was set. The other thing that I found out as I was looking at this and as I was studying this was that they said that the place where the brook Cherith was at was a secluded area. It was a secluded area. It was an area that was hidden off. It was a really, really good place for him to be. It's also said that the brook Cherith was a stream that flowed down from the mountain, that the place where he at was a place where many streams met. It was like a ravine, if you will, where there was rushing waters that came together at this one place, and that's what was happening. And then the brook dried up. The place that God had told him to go had dried up. Now, he didn't get anxious. He didn't begin to look around him and say, oh, why, God, it's getting little. The water is getting low. God, you need to tell me something soon. He just stayed there until he got word from the Lord where his next place, where his next destination was going to be. And sometimes in our fearfulness, come on. Sometimes in our fearfulness, we get anxious. We start looking at what's going on around us. We start looking at our cupboard getting low. We start looking at our resources getting low, and we get anxious. And in our anxiousness, we begin to do things. But anxiousness is the cousin to fear. And so we have to make sure that we be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make our request known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to keep our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. So we can't get anxious. Here we have the man of God. The water has stopped. The brook is dried up. And then he gets word from the Lord, and the Lord begins to speak to him and tells him, you know, that he's now to move to his next place and to his next destination. But the point that I want to bring out of that is that he does not move until God tells him to move. His relationship with God is such that he does not get anxious. He does not worry about it. He does not become fearful in within himself. And so I just want us to have a peace. To have a peace. Let God introduce himself to you as Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Let him bring a quietness and a stillness to you to know that no matter what happens, no matter what comes your way, that God is the supplier. And my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And so we've got to begin to get that. What is it? What has caused you to hide? Oh, I wish I could talk to somebody right now. What causes you to hide? Are you hiding because of what people say? Are you hiding because people say that, you know, you're not educated enough? Are you hiding? And I'm talking about those of you, God has called you to do something. You may know, perhaps you know what your gifting, your calling, your purpose, your anointing. You may already know what that is, and yet you're not stepping out and using it at its fullest potential because of people. Because you feel inadequate. Because you feel that you don't have the educational background that it takes. Because you feel that, you know, my children are too small and I don't know how to utilize it because I haven't learned how to, you know, divide my time and give God his time and then be, I don't know how to be a wife, a mother, come on, the evangelist. I don't know how to do that thing. I don't know how to, you know, get myself, because so many things happen in our life, and we seem to prioritize things without seeking God. Amen. That's all I'm going to say about that. There are a lot of things that we put. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom. Come on, somebody. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, when you start saying my schedule is just not, it's not enough time in the day, oh, my goodness, how many times did I go before God telling him that it wasn't enough time in the day? And God's response to me was always, Katie, you get the same amount of time everybody else do, 24 hours. Nobody else gets 25, 26, 30 hours. Everybody, watch this, the just and the unjust. Everybody gets 24 hours. How are you going to utilize that time? How are you going to utilize that time? And so those are the things that we have to begin to look at. Why are you hiding? Why are you hiding, man or a woman of God? Why are you hiding? And I need Holy Spirit to begin to open up and bring you into the truth of that thing. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Why are you hiding? Are you hiding because you feel like it's too much? The demand is too great. The demand is just too great. I'm not ready to give up this, that, or the other. Whatever this, that, or the other may look like. A friend of mine used to say dot, dot, dot. What? Why are you hiding? And so as we begin to look at that, we have to begin to understand that even in God telling us to hide, if the reason you're hiding is because God told you to hide, then you have to, in your hiding, trust God for the provision and trust God for his ability to tell you what the next move is. Trust God in your waiting. Trust God in your waiting. Remember, be anxious for nothing. Don't get anxious. Don't feel like it's taking too long. But wait. There is a blessing in the waiting. There is a blessing in the waiting. How do I know? Because the scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord. Hello? They that wait upon the Lord shall be of good courage. Be of good courage. We've got to learn how to wait on the Lord. Amen. The scripture said in Isaiah, they shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary, run and not faint. They shall run and not faint, walk and not be weary. Okay? And so there is a blessing in the waiting. We have to learn not to be so anxious, not to try to rush, not to try and speed things along. You know what I'm saying? I believe that if I could pull up a witness and I could call Sarah to the forefront, she would tell you, no, there's not a blessing in trying to pull some things to the forefront. She decided that, you know, God, I'm going to help you out. I'm old in age, and you done promised my husband that, you know, he's going to be the father of many nations, and I don't even have a child. Let me help you out. Hey, God, come here. Huh? And then jealousy arises. Some issues come to the forefront. But they only came to the forefront because she couldn't wait. Come on, somebody. She couldn't wait. on God to do what God was going to do. Now, why couldn't she wait? She couldn't wait because she was looking at her body. She couldn't wait because she probably looked down at her skin and it wasn't as the elasticity, come on somebody, had gone. It wasn't as vibrant as it used to be. Come on somebody. She looked down at her body. Hello. And what used to be perky wasn't perky anymore. Can I say it like that? Come on. But she had to learn. You can't hurry God. Wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. There is a blessing in your waiting. And so why are you hiding? Why are you hiding, man or woman of God? Why is it that you're finding yourself hiding and trying to assist God? And so here we have Elisha. Remember Elisha the Tishbite, his name means Yahweh with me. Amen. His name means Yahweh is my God. And he had to begin to understand who God is, his relationship with God. In our waiting, also, I think that that helps us to form a relationship with God. It helps to strengthen the relationship that we have in God. In our waiting, we can begin to talk to him, to listen to him, to learn how to attune our ears to his voice, and a stranger we won't follow. In our waiting, come on, we have to begin to learn how to strengthen our heart. In our waiting, we have to learn some things in our waiting. There is a blessing in your waiting. I want you to understand and know that waiting doesn't always mean standing still. Your waiting doesn't mean that you're in a sedentary position. Your waiting can be as you're walking. Your waiting can be as you're doing. Your waiting can be, I don't want you to feel like, okay, well, I just need to wait on God, so I'm about to go into seclusion and I'm not going to do anything. While Elisha was at the brook, he was still doing some things. But he was also waiting for that next instruction. So I don't want you to get it twisted. I don't want you to get it confused. I want you to understand it, for you to begin to know who you are in God. The other thing that I found out about the brook Cherith is that it was a seasonal stream. In my searching it out, it said that the brook Cherith was dry in the summer. It was dry in the summer. And beginning, knowing that it flowed into the Jordan River and it ended up into the Dead Sea, but that it was dry in the summer. And here we have him in a long span of his waiting, but he had even learned how to be content in all things. Have you gotten to a place where that as you're waiting on God, as you're hiding in God from obedience, not from disobedience and fear, but obedience and trusting God. While you're waiting, you're learning how to be content. You're learning how to be content in all things. And so we have to begin to look at that and to understand that there is a place in God. There is a season in God. There is a place and a season in God that he has just for you and just for him. But it has to come out of your obedience. It has to come out of your obedience. And so as we begin to understand and we begin to do what's necessary, it's imperative that in that place where God has told you to go and hide, in your obedience, that you're keeping your lines of communication open with God, that you're understanding and knowing how important it is, again, to hear from God. You're understanding and learning how to be faithful in your obedience to God. Just like here we have Elisha. He was obedient to what God told him to do. He didn't hesitate to do what it was God told him to do. And sometimes we can miss God because we're sitting there trying to dialogue and find out exactly what the plan is going to be. I need to know the whole plan. I need to know what you're going to do from start to finish. And God just needs for you to be obedient with what he's telling you. When he told Elijah to go to the brook Cherith, Elijah didn't sit there and say, why the brook Cherith? You know, it's much better if you send me over here. It's much better. I don't understand why you would send me to this place. And then to be told I'm going to be fed by a raven, I'm sure he probably would have said, you can pick a cleaner bird for me to be fed by. Why don't you let we have to make sure that our hiding isn't because of disobedience. We have to make sure that our ears are attuned to hear the Father's voice, to know the Father's voice, to respond to the Father's voice. And we have to do it without murmuring and without complaining. We can't question what it is that God sees in us. How often have God said something or spoke something to you and you felt like somebody else better could do the job? Somebody else is more educated, God. Why don't you get this person to do it? God knows exactly what he's doing. It's not even happenstance that God says that the raven is going to come and is going to feed you. I was thinking about that, and I felt like it could be a lot of reasons for that. First of all, the enemy probably wouldn't have expected a raven to be feeding the man of God. That would have just threw him off kilter altogether. And so we have to trust God's plan and God's purpose for our life. This wasn't a place where he was hiding because of he was disillusioned, or he was hiding because of his own low self-esteem, but he was hiding and concealing himself again, and he was doing it in the very presence of God. So we would ask the question, why is Elijah being sent to a place of cutting? Something for protection from Ahab. When we think about who Ahab was, when we think about who Jezebel the queen was, we could say a whole lot of things. Perhaps they were at him, after him. Perhaps, you know, he knew that they were trying to kill him. In 1 Kings 18 chapter, if you go further along, Jezebel gets totally upset with him, but his hiding was not just a hiding, but it was a concealment, it was a cover, it was a place, again, for him to sink deeper in the depths of God, in the place of God, to come to know, even as he began to walk that thing out. And so we have to begin to understand that even in our place of hiding in obedience, we still need God's guidance. We still need to be able to hear from him. The Jeremiah 10 and 33 says, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. In other words, you're not leaning on other people to tell you what to do. You're not, you know, going solely on somebody else directing you, or you're not doing it out of your own will. Remember, you're not looking at what you have. You're looking to what God has, and you're looking to God to supply what you need to get done what's necessary in the kingdom of God. And so we have to begin to look at that and begin to allow God, trust God's plan and trust God's purpose for our lives. We can't get to a point where we fail to experience God's presence and his sustaining strength to support because we fail to hide ourselves in his presence or to draw upon him. And the only way that that would happen is that you're hiding out of fear and you're not hiding and seeking to him. And so evaluate. Evaluate yourself. Why am I hiding? Is it because of fear, or is it because I'm hiding to sustain myself under him? I'm getting under his wings. I'm getting under the wings of God so that God can begin to pour into me what we have or what he has for my life, what he has designed for my life. And so hiding ourselves does not mean that we will not be available to God. When you're hiding in God, God knows exactly where you are. Even when you're not hiding in God, he still knows where you are. The thing of it is that when you're hiding in God, there's a peace. But when you're hiding from God, hello, somebody, when you're hiding in God, there's a peace. But when you're hiding from God, there's an unrest in you. There is an anxiousness in you. Amen. And there is definitely a fear in you. So are you hiding in God or are you hiding from God? Why are you hiding? why are you hiding? And so we have to begin to seek and to know God's plan and get to know God's purpose for our lives. We have to know again that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. His purpose. Why are you hiding? Are you hiding because you're hiding from His purpose, you think? Or are you hiding because you're trying to hide from God? So you've got to begin to examine that. You've got to begin to take a good look at that. We have to learn how to get to a brook Kereth in our lives so that we can begin to be filled with God. We can get the direction that we need to go to the next level in God. We can get to that purpose that we're in His purpose and we're in God's plan. God knows how to fit men into what He would have. Remember, He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you and that they're thoughts of good and not of evil to bring you to a perfected end. And so we've got to learn how to get in God so that we can get to that perfected end that He has deemed as a perfect place for you. That's what we've got to begin to understand and we've got to begin to know. And so on tonight, as we just wanted to share with you, begin to share with you as you begin to just call about the place of that God has for you and what the things that He desires to do for your life, you have to allow Him to get you out of your own prison cage. I have put it, one of my notations, that God did the call on your life become a prison cell that you locked, and you threw away the key because you didn't want to go to that next step or that next level in God for whatever the reason. It could be because of fear. It could be because you felt inadequate or whatever the case may be. But you have got to allow your relationship with God, your trust in God. Remember, the Word of God says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. The Word of God says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God knows the direction that you need to go in. I've often told people the GPS system didn't just come out. No, God always has had a GPS system. God has always had a GPS system. We just didn't tune in to hear where it is that He was saying. If we will allow the Holy Spirit to become our own GPS system, He'll let us know when we've gone past our turn. Hallelujah. He'll let us know and He'll say and quicken in our spirit, rerouting. Even I heard the GPS system say one time that when you can, you're going to have to make a U-turn. You're going to have to make a U-turn. You're going to have to turn around and go back the other way so that God can put you on the course that He has deemed for your life. What has caused you to veer off God's plan and God's purpose? What has caused you to veer off of God's plan and God's purpose? Are there some things that you need to make a U-turn and go back the other way because you went way too far out of the way? What is it that God is saying to you on tonight? And so we just want to pray with you on tonight that you will allow God's GPS system, the Holy Spirit, to lead you and to guide you into all truth. For us to get to a place just like Elisha was, where he was obedient to God, and he was obedient instant. When God said to do it, he did it. And we know that after he left the brook Cherith was when he did the miracle with the woman and the crude of oil. And, you know, it was her who spoke to Elijah when he told her. He said, you know, God had already told him. This is amazing. God had already told him, I need you to go to the widower. She's going to sustain you. She's going to feed you. because the brook had dried up, the raven had stopped coming with the meal plan. So now it's time for you to go to that next level in God. And he goes to the woman. The thing that gets me was that when he went to the woman, she had already decreed death over her own life. You remember what she told him? She said, look, I ain't got nothing for you. I have nothing for you. I only got a little bit of oil and a little bit of meal. I'm getting ready to make that. Me and my son going to eat it, and then we're going to wait on death. But the man of God began to speak to her and tell her that if you be obedient and make mine first, if you make me some first. Now, she already said, I only got enough for me and my son. But he speaks to her. He begins to speak life and say, if you make mine first, you will have enough. You will have not just enough. You will have more than enough. And the Bible talks about how she made it. And how the cruse of oil never went dry, and how she always had enough meal to make something for her son. And that came from the man of God, Elijah's obedience. Obedience. Why are you hiding? I still pose that question before you on tonight. Why are you hiding? And the word that God will have me to give you is that it's time to come out of hiding. It's time to come out of hiding in fear. You've been hiding in fear. You've been hiding because you feel inadequate. You've been hiding because you feel like you don't have enough education. You've been hiding because of what people say about you. You've been hiding for whatever your reason. Hiding in disobedience is not God's plan for your life. And so we want to call you out of that place of hiding and disobedience and get you up to a place of that you're hiding in God. But you're hiding in God like the scripture says in Psalms. The scripture says in Psalms 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid by the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. It shall not. I don't care what's going on around you. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what we hear on the news. I don't care about any of that. Because we trust in God. Come out of hiding. Come out of hiding. As we just begin to pray for you on tonight, no matter what that stronghold may look like, no matter what lies the enemy has been whispering to you, no matter who has spoken something negative of you, the people who said you can't, the people who said you never amount to anything, the people who said you're ignorant, whatever negative words have been spoken against you, whoever sent out a decree up for your life to try to snuff you out, it shall not come nigh you. Nothing. He said he'll rebuke the arrows that fly by day. Come on, somebody. He'll rebuke the arrows. I don't want to say it wrong. The noisome pestilence, he'll cover you. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. We don't have to be afraid of the terror, nor the arrow, neither of them. Because he said, nor that wasteth at noonday. And when I think about that wasted, don't get caught up in the what looked like it failed. Don't get caught up in you didn't do what he told you to do, and so now it's too late for you to do it. Don't look at that. Our God is able to call back and to restore that which like it got wasted at noonday. That which looked like it crumbled, and you can't even, it's never going to resurface. God says, I can call that thing back into being. So I come against the guilt. I come against whatever the enemy is trying to tell you that God is not going to use you because you waited too long. I come against all of those things, all of those negatives that the enemy may be trying to lie to you to keep you in a place you can feel like you're not being used. We come against that now in Jesus' name. So we just want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. We want to pray that God will do what God needs to do in you as you come out of hiding. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit will recalculate some things. Hallelujah. He'll recalculate some things on your behalf. Hallelujah. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come now before your sight and before your presence, O Lord God. We come, O Lord God, because we understand that you are God, and above you there is none other, O Lord God. We come, O Lord God, trusting and knowing who you are, O Lord God, as you introduce yourself to us as Yahweh, our God, Lord. We come to you now, O Lord God, because you are God, and above you there is none other. We come, God, because it is through you that we live, move, and have our very being, God. It's because of you that we exist, O Lord God. It's because of you, O Lord God, that you said that I have a plan and I have a purpose for those who are listening to me, God. I have a plan and I have a purpose, O Lord God. We come against the enemy, O Lord God, that we try to tell them, O Lord God, that it's too late. We come against the enemy, O Lord God, that tell them that they can't, O Lord God. We come against every negative word that was ever spoken against their purpose, O Lord God, and your plan for their lives, O Lord God. We bind the enemy on every hand, O Lord God, and we say, let God arise and the enemy be scattered, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God. We speak strength to him now, O Lord God, in the mighty matchless name of Jesus Christ, God. We decree and declare, O Lord God, that you will begin, O Father God, to have your way in them, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God, that your word says in that Psalms 91, God, that you have given your angels charge, O Lord God, to keep us in all of our ways, O Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We thank you, O God, that they bear us up, O Lord God, lest our foot dash against the stone, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God, that you've given us power to tread, O Lord God, to tread on the lion and the adder, O Lord God. We thank you, O Lord God, that the dragon shall trample, we will trample him under our feet, O Lord God. We thank you, God, that it's because of your love that you set upon us, that rest upon us, O Lord God. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you that you have set us on high, oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, even as you did your son, oh, Lord God. We thank you, oh, God, for your word and your son, oh, God. He said that if I and I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would draw them out of their hiding place of disobedience, oh, Lord God, and set them up, oh, Lord God. Ah, yes, set them up, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. We thank you, oh Lord God, that you said that we can call upon you, God, and that you would answer, oh Lord God, and that you would be with us, oh Lord God, in the time of trouble, God. You said that you would deliver us and that you would honor us, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you pull them out of their hiding, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that they come out of hiding, oh God, with their hands up, calling out your name, oh Lord God. You said that they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, oh Lord God. Save them, oh Lord God, from the place, oh God, of hiding and disobedience, oh Lord God, and get them to a place, oh Lord God, that they hide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, strengthen them, oh Lord God, to know the call, to know the purpose, to know the anointing of you that resonates in their lives, oh Lord God, that it is the anointing that destroys the yoke, oh Lord God. It is the anointing that destroys the yoke, oh Lord God. So destroy the yoke, oh God. Destroy the yoke, oh Lord God, of the things even that they have put around their own neck, oh Lord God. Destroy, oh Lord God, the place, oh God. The cell, oh Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, God, have your way in your people, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. So we lift up, oh Lord God, those who've been called as ministers, those who've been called in the fivefold, oh Lord God, those who have been called, oh Lord God, and they went into a hiding place of disobedience, God. I pray for them now in the name of Jesus. Those who felt like, oh Lord God, they weren't called. Those who listened to somebody, oh Lord God, who said that they weren't called of God, but they know that they heard your voice, oh Lord God. Give them the strength that they need, oh Lord God, to stand in obedience to you, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, bless now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. So I pray now, God, that you would begin to irrigate ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Begin to irrigate, oh Lord God, that wax buildup that has caused them not to know your voice, that's made your voice mumbled, that has made it so that your voice isn't clear. But irrigate the spiritual ear that they'll be able to hear what thus saith the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ, oh Lord God. Then give them the wherewithal to move swiftly, to move in obedience, oh Lord God, to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, that you will exalt them in due time, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, help them to look to the hills for which cometh their help, knowing that all of their help comes from you and from you alone. God, in the name of Jesus, make yourself known. Make yourself known as the shepherd, the good shepherd, oh Lord God, that they shall not want, oh Lord God. Let them know that it is you who lead them, oh Lord God. Oh Lord God, it is you who keep them, oh Lord God. It is you who have prepared their table in the presence of their enemies, oh Lord God. It is you who anoint their head with oil so that cups can run over, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, let your cups run over with your anointing. Oh Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God, do it for your glory, oh Lord God. God, you are our dwelling place, oh Lord God. You are our dwelling place, oh Lord God, in all generations, oh God. You are the Lord God, our stay, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. Some under my voice begins to make that U-turn, oh God. They begin to run back to you, run back to the place of safety, oh Lord God. Run back to a place of hiding in obedience and not hiding out of fear, oh Lord God. As they get back in that place in you, oh Lord God, shedding off, oh Lord God, the things of the flesh, oh Lord God, and taking on the things of the Spirit, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Not a spirit, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that they wrap themselves, oh Lord God, in you, as they wrap themselves, oh God, in the secret place of you, God. Hallelujah. Let them hear. Let them hear, oh God. Let them hear your voice as never before, God. Let your voice echo. Oh, let it resound in them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let it hear, oh God, to a place of obedience. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And now unto him who is able. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the coming of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only God, our Savior. To the only wise God, our Savior. Be dominion and power, hallelujah, now and forever, God. Hallelujah. To the only wise God, our Savior. Be glory and majesty, dominion and power now and forever. In Jesus' name, it is so, and so it is. Amen and amen and amen. So I'm so happy on tonight as you come out of your place of hiding and disobedience, and you're now standing in the place of hiding under the shadow of God, and you're in obedience. I praise God for you on tonight. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to you joining us on next Tuesday as we're falling back in line with a consistent schedule here on Nothing But the Truth with yours truly, Apostle Designee Katie Pierce and the Truth Deliverance Ministry. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to you hearing you on the line on next week. Until then, May God's greatest and may God's best. Good night, everybody.